Nehemiah chapter 1 and verse number 1, the words of Nehemiah the son of Hakaliah, and it came to pass in the month Cheslu, in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan, the palace, that Hananiah, one of my brethren, came, he and certain men of Judah, and I asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left of the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. It came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the Lord God of heaven. Bible says that Nehemiah received word from his home, his city, Jerusalem. The word is, it's destroyed. The walls are destroyed. The city is destroyed. And there's nothing but desolation that's left there. So it broke his heart. It touched him and grieved him so much that he sat down and he wept and he cried and he fasted certain days, several days. Then in chapter 2, when he goes in before the king, remember, he's the cupbearer. And what a task, what a job, what a responsibility that he had to go in before the king. Even though he's in captivity, he's been elevated to this very honorable position of cupbearer. And so he goes in there, and it's obvious that the king notices immediately that something's wrong with him. Something's going on with him. He can tell by his countenance that something's not right. And so the king then begins to question him about what's going on in his situation. Why are you grieving? Is your countenance so low? Nehemiah then gives him a description of the message that he had received concerning his city. He said, the gates are burned down. He said, the city, the place of my father's sepulchers, lieth in waste. The gates thereof are consumed with fire. Then the king said unto me, for what dost thou make a request? So I prayed to the God of heaven. And I said unto the king, if it please the king, and if thy servant have found favor in thy sight, that thou wouldest send me unto Judah, unto the city of my father's sepulchres, that I may build it. When he heard that the city of Jerusalem was destroyed, it was burnt to the ground and utterly destroyed. It so grieved him, it so broke his heart that he wept and he cried. He was grieved to the point that even when he goes in before the king, he can't hide the fact that he's so overwhelmed with sorrow and grief. Have you ever been that stricken? Has there been any circumstance in your life that has made you so overwhelmed with grief? It's really stricken your heart. It caused you to grieve. I believe he grieved over his home city. And I believe that you and I have a responsibility to our home city of London, Kentucky, Laurel County. So kind of continuing with some of the things we were talking about this morning, he grieved over his city. And we should grieve over the conditions, spiritual condition of our community. It should be something that weighs heavily upon our heart. It's easy to push it off. It's easy to go on with your life. Actually, Nehemiah had a pretty cushy job. He had a good position and an honorable position. I mean, he was invited into the throne room. He was invited to serve the king. I'm sure that his position was a highly sought after position. And to go in before the king in that condition, probably his face, you know, sunk in from fasting, and it's obvious he could not. You know, people, when people are really going through deep sorrow and grief, they can't hide that. It's just obvious on their countenance and in their demeanor that something is so stricken their life and so stricken their heart that they can't get over it. That's what was going on in the life of Nehemiah. What was it that grieved him? It was his city of Jerusalem. You know, Jesus also wept over the same city, that city of God, Jerusalem. He wept over that city just before he went in and faced all that he was going to face in the week of his crucifixion. As he was walking toward the city, he wept and he cried and was grieved over his city, Jerusalem. Do you know that we have a responsibility to our home area? We talked about this morning, describing the fact that where God has put us, where he has placed us. Now, a lot of you are native to London, Laurel County, but I'm not. And so there had to be something take place in me years ago to cause me to want to adopt this place as my home city. And of course, it was the church, but it was also the fact that God burdened me for this county. The Lord positioned me years ago to drive a bus and to run all over this county delivering people. I worked for comprehensive care. I was going to college down in Cumberland, and I drove a bus into the far reaches of this county, unbelievable places, up roads that you could not, you had to back out. You couldn't drive, you couldn't get turned around. Up in hollers and different places all over this county, all the way down through Keevy, out through East and West 80, all over East Bernstead, all the way out to the Jackson County line and over to almost the Clay County line. Every day I drove that bus. And then I didn't think that much about it. I mean, I didn't really enjoy it. I just did it because it was a job. But then a few months before we came to London to pastor, the Lord began to deal with me, and I would see those roads, and I would see the various areas of the community. The Lord dealt with me about not just the church, but about the community and the needs of the community, and gave to me a concern and a burden. And I want you to know today that I'm really, really sad. And I'm really grieved over the circumstance of our community. The need is great. You know, whenever Jesus gave to his disciples in Acts chapter 1, he told them to go and wait in Jerusalem until they were endued with power from on high. And after that, the Holy Ghost came upon them, Acts 1 and 8. The Bible says that they were sent forth to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. It started with home. And I believe in foreign missions. You all know how much I believe in it. I believe in the importance of investing. But I believe that right now the Lord wants to speak to us about our responsibility to our own hometown, to our own city. And we need to be like Nehemiah, that we need to take notice of what's going on in our community. Take notice of the crime. Take notice of the drug addiction. Take notice of the direction of people. Take notice of the fact that only a third at the most of the population of this county go to church or connected at all to church. We have a community, you know, I guess right in the Bible Belt, but yet we have a city that's really pretty much in step with the rest of the country. It's just moving little by little away from God. Little by little away from spiritual values. And I don't know, we can cast blame in a lot of places. And I'm sure we can say, well, it's because preachers aren't preaching what they should preach from the pulpits, or churches are cold and backslidden. We could cast a lot of blame, but let's just talk about you and me tonight. Because we're not going to stand before God for what anybody else does, only what we do. We'll stand before God for what we do. Should we carry a burden for a city like our own city here? You know, a city, you know, when you think about London, and even to call it a city is kind of a little bit humorous. Because there's just something like, in the city limits, between 8,000 and 9,000 people. It's not a very big city. I know they classify cities, and we're down the list. We're not an A, B, or C. We might be a D or somewhere on down the line as far as the classification, because we've got a small population. But our county, of course, is a much bigger population, somewhere between 60,000 and 70,000 people that live in our community. Do you know that the term city is mentioned over 600 times in the Bible? And again, there are different times that God makes a move toward a city, that God works to preserve or to save a city. He does it a lot of times. Abraham interceded for Sodom and Gomorrah. And I know his nephew Lot had moved down there, and he was a part of that, and maybe that was a big part of his motivation. But he interceded for the city. Lord, if there's 50 righteous here, will you save it? 45. If there's 40, and it just keeps going down the line until it gets down to 10, and there's not even 10 righteous in the city. The city is really under the judgment of God. God's getting ready to pour out his judgment upon Sodom, and it's a very sad predicament in Sodom and Gomorrah, because Lot and his family have moved down there, and instead of influencing, they've been influenced. Instead of causing the city, you know, he was already positioned, sitting in the gates. He had become an elder, maybe a city councilman or whatever you want to call it, but he was an influential leader in the city already, sitting in the gates. He had a position of influence in the city, and something could have happened. Something he could have made an effort, but instead, he was affected. His wife was affected. His daughters were affected. Sodom got into their hearts, and the ways of the world got into their hearts. Instead of them influencing, they were influenced by all that was going on around them. When those perverted men came looking for those angels that they called men, looking for them, I mean, these were depraved, perverted people, knocking on their doors, beating on their doors, wanting those men that were angels to come out to them. Lot had become so twisted in his thinking that he offered his own daughters to them. He said, "Well, you can, don't do this thing. Here are my daughters. You can have them." I mean, Lot's mind, his thinking, his spiritual condition has gone so far away from righteousness and away from God. Lot has gotten into such a condition. So there's only four, maybe six, if his daughter's husbands left with them, then maybe six left. But you remember the scripture that says that when the morning, just before the judgment of God fell upon them, Genesis 19 and 15, when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, "Arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city." And while he lingered, Lot he didn't really want to leave. He knew the judgment was coming. He'd heard the warnings. But the Bible says that the men laid hold upon his hand and upon the hand of his wife and upon the hands of his two daughters. Those angels had to get him by the hand and literally pull him out of the city. They'd got so embedded, so in love with the ways of Sodom. This was a city that came under the judgment of God. And even though Abraham interceded for that city was destroyed. You know the devastation that took place even after Lot left. His wife turned around because she so loved that place and turned to a pillar of salt. His own two daughters were so perverted in their thinking that they got him drunk. And you know the story, the perverted, horrible thing that took place as a result of the sinful things that had influenced them in their heart. So Abraham interceded for a city, and this was a city that was destroyed by God. So that lets us know that a community, a city, if you will, can get to the place that God just says, there's no more righteous people there. There's no one there. And he chooses to work through the righteous, through the people of God. And so there has to be a righteous influence in a community and in a city such as we're in. I believe that we're positioned. Like, again, this has nothing to do with any other church. Everybody else stands before God on that. But I believe that God put us right where we are, South Main Street, right here in this community, right in the center of this city, so that we could have an impact for the glory of God, so that we can touch a lot of people for the glory of God, so lives can be changed. I want you to know that that's a sad story of a destruction of a city, but Jonah went to preach to Nineveh, and it was a city that was just as wicked. But he preached to them, and even though he reluctantly went, and he preached judgment and walked across that city 3 days' journey and preached to them that judgment was coming, and just the opposite took place. The whole city repented. The whole city. Even the animals, there was sackcloth that was even placed on the animals because the king and all of the leaders, they repented and confessed their sins and cried out to God, and God preserved the city of Nineveh. Even though the evangelist was so prejudiced and so resistant to the will of God, and he didn't even want them to repent. But yet God moved and saved a city, saved the city of Nineveh. I believe that he could save the city of London and Laurel County. I believe he can save this city from the direction that it's taking and it's moving further and further and further away from God. But there has to be a righteous influence, and God has put us here to be just that, to be just that. And it starts with the same response that Nehemiah had. You allow yourself to be grieved over what you see. You allow yourself, you let your heart be for the city. You allow your emotions and your feeling to be for the community, to care about. Now, a city is just obvious. It's not the buildings, it's the people. It's the numbers of people that come together and live in a particular community. And this city is a city that has a history of revivals. It has a history of moves of God. It has a history of preachers of the gospel, revival meetings that have shaped this community for God. Uncle Bud Robinson came here and preached. Maria Woodworth Etter came and held meetings in this area. I mean, those in the past and there have been meetings such as the meeting that was the beginning of this church in just a barn lot uptown on Broad Street, a stable of sorts. And there, it was there, and then it was moved up to College Hill and around the Bennett Center area up there. And it was in different locations, but God worked and moved in this community. So we have a history of revival and a move of God. But we're going to have to care. We're going to have to be grieved over what's going on. It's going to have to break our heart like it broke Nehemiah's heart when you see the situation that we're in and the circumstances that we're in right now. And so there's Abraham who interceded for a city, but the city rejected God and fell under the judgment of God. Then there was Nineveh that had a reluctant preacher, but yet they heard the warning and they repented and the city was saved. Another city is in Acts 17. Paul is there. Actually, he's just waiting for his other companions and ministry to come there and to meet him there at uh, at Athens. But the Bible says that while he waited in Athens, that he got to looking around. He noticed the whole city was filled with idolatry. And that the whole city was had turned away from the true and the living God. They didn't know about Jesus. They didn't know the gospel message. And while he waited there, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw that the city was wholly given to idolatry. And when they heard, skipping down to verse 32 of that chapter, he had preached in the public on Mars Hill. He preached and disputed with all of those preaching to them about the unknown God. It says in verse 32, when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked. And others said, we'll hear thee again of this matter. So Paul departed from among them. Howbeit, certain men clave unto him and believed. Praise God. Amen. It wasn't a lost cause. He preached to them, and though the majority mocked him and made fun of the message of the gospel, there was that little remnant of people that he preached to. And God moved in Athens, and a church was born in Athens was established in Athens because of the preaching of the gospel. He went into the city, and instead of just saying, I'm just here, I'm just passing through, he involved himself. He was stirred and grieved over what he saw, the idolatry that he saw. And he preached to them, and there was a remnant of people that believed, and a church was established in that place. Praise God. We should care. I don't know, maybe I'm just a little crazy, but if we're out traveling somewhere and I'll go through a city and I'll look around and ask my wife, I wonder if there's a good church here. I wonder, look at this town. Nice little town. I wonder if there's a good church here that preaches the whole counsel of God. Wonder if they've got a church. You say, well, what a crazy thing to ask. It's not that crazy. There are people all over this country that they're starving to death. They're looking for a place to go where they can fellowship with other believers. They're looking for a place that they can go just to worship God and to go to a place that's spirit-filled where the Word of God is honored and preached and taught. We just kind of take it for granted what we have and how blessed that we are. If the church is to be able to touch our community and city, it has to start with the same thing that started in the heart of Nehemiah. When he heard the word all the way down there in captivity of what had happened to his home city, his heart was broken and he grieved over his city. We should grieve as you drive up and down the streets, as you read the paper and you hear the news of the various things that are taking place in our community. It ought to grieve you and you ought to take it personal. It ought to be something that gets a hold of your heart and you take it personal. This is my city. This is my home. This is the place where God has put me. And begin to pray and intercede in behalf of this community because you, first of all, you're grieved by the situation. You're grieved by the circumstances of the community. Amen. So prayer then is born in the hearts of the church whenever we really care about what's going on, when we really care. You know, it's interesting that the church families can kind of live in their little bubble, their little world, and never really even take much notice to what's going on around them. You know, we've preached and we believe that you should separate yourself from the world. And we know that's a Bible principle, that Christians should come out from among them and be separate. We've separated ourselves and we certainly should do that. But in doing so, we've also isolated ourselves. We don't know that many people out there in the world. We don't know, we really don't care to know what's going on out there. We just know that people are, I don't know about you, when I drive through downtown and I see that we've got two tattoo parlors on Main Street, that just stirs something in me. It ought not be that way. You say, well, they have a right to have their business. I don't care. It ought not be that way. It hasn't been that way for a long time, but now it's that way. And the devil, you know, he just, you know, wanted to trouble me over this liquor store right across the street from the church. I know that the devil put that there. I know that he did. I mean, the last time we had the political vote against alcohol in the meeting, and they had asked me a couple other times, Brother Huff had been the chairman of that meeting, of that effort a few years ago, and different ones. Ronnie Ball had been, and this last time they just pressed me, no, it's your turn. You need to do it. You need to do it. So I was the chairman the last time. I was the chairman when we lost. And they decided to position it right in front of our church. I'm still praying for those folks to get saved. And I'm praying for their business to dry up. And for that one and the other one that's getting started out there by the Walmart Center out there. Because I'm concerned about our community. I'm concerned about the direction of our community. And we need to stand for a righteous cause. And we need to be grieved over this. And we need to pray for our city. I'm going to be meeting with several other pastors in the community. And I'm hoping that out of this meeting that there will be prayer meetings that will start in churches all over the city and all over the community. I don't care what kind of church they are. If they're willing to pray for London and Laurel County, praise God. Praise God. And as we join together and we begin to pray, Lord, turn our city back to God. Turn our city back to God. And send conviction upon this community. So those that are lost and the church members that are backslidden, that they will get back to God and back to a real relationship with God. Amen. And that we should pray and take this to heart. Jesus wept over the spiritual condition that Jerusalem was in, and we ought to weep over the spiritual condition that our city is in. It ought to trouble us. It ought to grieve us. It ought to be something that we think about and we pray about, and it should be the burden of our heart that God has put you in this community. How many of you are native to London? You've lived here all your life. Quite a few of you. And how many of you are like me? You come from a foreign country. Oklahoma and Colorado and Texas and where from, Jackie? Ohio? Right? Ohio? Foreign countries. Not native here. But just because you're not native to London doesn't mean that it's not home now. And that you ought to take it to heart. And it'll be something that weighs heavily upon you. That you're concerned about this city. You're concerned about the direction of the city. And you take it to heart. And you're willing to pray and to call upon the Lord on behalf of this community. Amen. Let's believe God. Let's pray together. Let's believe God. And become concerned, involved. You know, what probably needs to happen is that the church needs to just turn into a spiritual hospital where people, if there are thousands of people in this community that are not saved and they're on drugs and their lives are wrecked and ruined by habits and lifestyle that's ungodly, if they start coming to God, they're going to need a place to go where they can get help. They're going to need to go to a place where they can get it. So instead of being suspicious when they come in looking a little bit different than we might want them to look, instead of being suspicious, instead, let's have the mindset, well, we're a spiritual hospital. And that's the very ones that we want to come. We want them to come in here in their messed up life and find Jesus and know him in reality, and their life can be turned around by the grace of God. Hallelujah. So this become a spiritual hospital where people can come to the Lord and they can get help and they can their life can be turned around. I understand. I understand full well what goes on in the lives of people that are, you know, in these addictions. I know that their mind is messed up. I know their thinking is messed up. I know that they can't make right decisions.
They can't do anything that will put them in the right direction. They're so under the control of the enemy, so bound and under the control of the enemy. That's why they have to have help. They have to have someone to pray for them, to help see them healed and to come out of that spiritual bondage. They need the saints of God to surround them and to help them and to see them delivered. Amen. So the church has to be a place where they can come and they can find help in our own community. Right here where the Lord has positioned us, we need to be a place where they don't feel intimidated, they don't feel like they're unwelcome, but they recognize that they can get help. Amen. In the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. I believe the Lord wants to burden our hearts. You know what a burden is? A spiritual burden is like a physical burden. You can pick it up and carry it, or you can choose not to. Spiritual burdens, you have to make a conscious decision. I'm going to take that to heart. I'm going to pick that burden up. I'm going to get involved in that. I'm going to see something changed in that situation. I'm going to let it grieve my heart and stir me when I see the direction of our community. Amen. Would you pick the burden up? Would you accept the burden and the call? Would you allow it to grieve your heart? We just get all wrapped up in our own lives and the things that we are involved in, and we forget about the fact that God's positioned us in a community that is little by little moving away from God, away from the Word of God, little by little, gradually slipping away from the Lord. And I know it's pretty much what has happened and is happening all across this nation, but it doesn't have to happen here if we'll get a hold of God. Amen. Glory to God. The Bible says when he got the report, that he sat down. And he cried. And he wept. And he fasted. Because his heart was so stricken about his home city. Lord, give us that same compassion and burden for London and Laurel County. Oh God. Oh God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Next month, we're going to be in a revival, 6th of September, Wednesday night through Wednesday night. So it's a little over a week that we're scheduled for. Let's prepare our hearts for that. And instead of this being a revival, I know that we need revival in the church. Personally, we need revival, but let's not make that the focus. Let's get revived now. And then let's make that meeting, the focus of that meeting, people out there that are walking the streets. Every day that I drive through downtown, I see them with their backpacks. I see them. They're broke. They're skinny. They're tattooed. They're messed up. Let's have a meeting for them. Amen. Let's have a meeting for them. Let's pray for them. Let's get a burden for them. Let's weep for them that are out there, that are wrecking and ruining their lives. Let's pray for those 150 that are in the jail that have no bed because they're so overcrowded up there, and most of them are there because of some addiction or a crime related to their addiction. That's why they're there. It's going further and further and further into the darkness, the enemy's destruction. Let's have a meeting that will focus upon the fact that they're out there all around us, all around us. And we just live out our daily lives and don't give much attention. Would you start noticing them as they walk down the street? Would you let it touch your heart? Would you get a burden for our community? Amen. Let's stand together. Father, Lord, I just pray that you would speak tonight, because I don't know how to even express what's on my heart. But I do know, Lord, that this is your heart. And I know that this community and this city belongs to you. It belongs to you. It does not belong to the enemy. And Lord, you have plans for our community, for the people that live in this city. Lord, you have plans for them to work in their life, to save them, to preserve their lives, to use them for your glory. Oh God, would you sweep into this community, Lord, with a great move of your Spirit, I pray, and stir the hearts of the church so that we can be the force that you've called us to be. So that when we see what's going on, that we will, along with Nehemiah, that we would weep over our city. And with Jesus as well, that we will weep over our city. Oh, Lord. Lord, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name.